Thanks very much for that, reading God's word to us. Here's 30 reasons why I'll be very sad if it goes ahead up in Queensland. That was our fast food safari on just this Friday night. So please pray for the youth of our church and for the young adults. But we're going to think about God's word now. So would you please join with me in praying to him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his kingship, his eternal kingdom, and that we are citizens of that kingdom because he has cleansed us from our sin, given us new hearts that love you, and has united us to him forever. Help us to listen with humble hearts and learn from your word this morning, so that we may be built up in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you might like to make sure you've got the passage and the outline in yellow in front of you. And I want you to picture the scene. We saw it last week with King Manasseh. He is an artist drawing Manasseh about to sacrifice his son to Molech. The nation of Judah is ruled by this domineering dictator for more than half a century. But in 642 BC, Manasseh finally died at the age of 67. The kingdom looked pretty secure because his son Amon reigned in his place. But the numbers looked pretty bad for Amon, so his cabinet stabbed him in the back. And before they could work out who was going to be king, the people got sick of these political assassinations and they killed all of those people. Maybe that's what's going to happen to our government at the next election. The popular choice was this guy. No, it wasn't that guy. It was this guy. No, it wasn't him. No, it wasn't that guy either. They put King Josiah in. He was a Davidic descendant, that's the one that they chose, the people chose. But King Josiah was only 8 years old, young King Josiah. Now, obviously, eight-year-old Josiah played with his Warhammer set and his toy catapults, but he wasn't ready to rule the country, so he would have had minders who would be looking after him for the first few years of his rule. But just like in our age, the teenage years when people are moving into adulthood are critical for setting the direction of people's lives, especially in relation to God. And we read over in Chronicles that King Josiah was 16 years old when he began to seek the God of David, his forefather. And it would be an incredible harvest of fruit that faith would bear later in his life. When he was just 20 years old, King Josiah, as a young adult, began to have a major impact for the kingdom of God, because that's when he started to purify the worship of Jerusalem and direct people back to the Lord their God. He removed the idols, he removed images and the poles that were set up to represent the goddess Asherah, and he directed the people to worship the Lord in the place where the Lord said he was to be worshipped, in the temple. And this would be a lifelong passion for Josiah, to direct people back to the pure worship of the Lord. When Josiah was 26 years old, still a young man, he began to repair the temple of the Lord. And as they started to get this work underway, the high priest finds in the temple a very important book. Have a look at chapter 22, verse 8, which is there in front of you. Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." I was once trying to fix a bicycle wheel. It was just a bit rough when you turn the axle, and I thought I just need to take it apart, clean it, put new grease in it. So I was trying to get the hub apart, and I had an Allen key in one side, and I had the Allen key in the other side, and I was trying to undo this part, trying to get it undone. And I was straining at the Allen keys, and I was pushing, my hands were really starting to bruise, and I was pushing harder and harder, and all of a sudden, it turned, it released. But then I noticed that this Allen key was very loose. So I'd stripped the hexagonal socket with my Allen key, and now it was useless. You couldn't ever get it to turn. But then I found the book. I went on the internet and I looked up the instruction manual for this hub, and it said that that axle that I was trying to undo, that I just thought was kind of seized and rusted up, it was one piece. I was trying to undo two pieces that were actually one piece. And I'd realized, well, I've stuffed this hub. I've stuffed up big time once I found the book and realized my mistake. Well, when Josiah heard the words of the book of the law, he realized that what his people had done was the biggest stuff up in history. The book of the law was meant to be the daily instruction manual for God's people. The king was meant to have his daily quiet times in the book of the law. So we read about it in Deuteronomy 17. When the king takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priests. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees. And what kind of things did this law say? Well, how about this one? You shall not murder. Last week we saw King Manasseh filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. So they failed that one. This one, you shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. Well, they'd done that too, hadn't they? Or this one, let there be no one found among you who sacrifices their son or their daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft. Manasseh and others did all that. The book also says, these are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the high places on the high mountains, on the hills and under every spreading tree, where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. But of course they did worship the Lord their God in the way of the nations, and also they worshipped all the idols that the nations worshipped. Another thing, no Israelite man or woman is to become a shrine prostitute. But in Josiah's time, there were male prostitutes working in the temple. It's sickening. And it also said, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees that I am giving you today, these curses will come on you and overtake you. You'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in, and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The book of the law was a covenant. It was a bit like a marriage where the bride and the groom promised to be faithful to one another. But this marriage was an utter failure because of the infidelity of God's people. They were not faithful to the things that they promised to do. At the end of the book of the law, at the end of Deuteronomy, they all say, yes, amen, I do. But they did not do. They did not do what they promised. So their marriage failed, and the kingdom failed. And we saw it last week with Manasseh. The prophet said, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins and has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him and has led Judah into sin with his idols, therefore this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line used against Samaria and the plumb line used against the house of Ahab. I will wipe out Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and give them into the hands of enemies. They'll be looted and plundered by all their enemies. They have done evil in my eyes and have aroused my anger from the day their ancestors came out of Egypt until this day. It's not without reason that God is going to send judgment on his people. They had persistently and consistently done evil against him for almost 1,000 years. Now, what do you reckon Josiah felt when he heard all these words from the book of the law? You can imagine him thinking, we're stuffed. It's over. We're all going to die. He tears his robes in grief and fear. And he commands the high priest and his chief officials to go and inquire of the prophetess Huldah to find out, what does God say about this? What is going to happen to us? Because we are guilty of doing all these things that God said you shall not do. And the prophetess Huldah sends back word from the Lord saying that everything that is written in the book of the law is going to happen. God's judgment is definitely coming. But because Josiah trusts in the Lord and because he fears the Lord, the judgment is going to be delayed a little while. And following on from here, King Josiah's passion for the Lord increases. He calls the whole nation together and he reads this book of the law to the people. He gets the people to agree to their marriage promises that they have been failing to fulfill. He gets rid of the things that are dedicated to the false gods, Baal and Asherah, and the things dedicated to the sun and the moon and the stars. He burns them in the valley and he gets the ashes and he scatters them in the graveyards. He burns down the houses of the men prostituting themselves in the temple and of the women who knit for Asherah. He desecrates all the high places where the Israelites were not to worship. He got rid of the altar where Manasseh sacrificed his son and where the other people were sacrificing their sons and daughters in the fire to Molech. and he put an end to fortune-telling and mediums and witchcraft in the land. And he celebrated the Passover for the first time in memory, something which they were meant to do every single year hadn't been done in living memory. And he celebrated it, celebrating what God had done for them when he rescued them out of Egypt. It says at the end of our reading today, in verse 25 of chapter 23, "Neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with all the law of Moses." Josiah was a unique king in terms of his devotion to God. But Josiah was a failed king, because even though he did all these things, even though his devotion to God was 100% pure, it was not enough to save his people from destruction. Josiah was not the king who could save the nation. Have a look at the very next verse in chapter 23, verse 26. "Nevertheless, the Lord did not turn away from the heat of his fierce anger, which burned against Judah because of all that Manasseh had done to arouse his anger. So the Lord said, 'I will remove Judah also from my presence as I removed Israel, and I will reject Jerusalem, the city I chose, and this temple about which I said, my name shall be there.'" Even everything that Josiah did, all it accomplished was just to delay the inevitable. Josiah was not the king who could save the people. He was not the king the people needed. What happened for Josiah is that after some years, when he was still only 39 years old, the king of Egypt was marching up to fight one of the other superpowers of the ancient world, Babylon. And Pharaoh Necho of Egypt was marching past Josiah's land, and for some reason, we don't know why, Josiah decided to go out and try and stop the king of Egypt. And the king of Egypt warned him to just leave him alone, "I'm not fighting against you." But Josiah wouldn't listen, and he engaged the king in military conflict, and Josiah was killed. And when Josiah's sons took the throne, they continued the evil that had been done by Manasseh and most of the other kings before Josiah. And for the next 20 years, Jerusalem was basically like a football being passed between the superpowers of the ancient world, between Egypt and Babylon. And 24 years after Josiah died, the king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar, came to Jerusalem and besieged it and razed it to the ground. Lots of people were killed. Lots of people were forced into exile in Babylon. And the poorest people were left to work the land, to be slave farmers, basically. But there was a guy who lived at the same time as Josiah, and his name was Jeremiah the prophet. And he outlived Josiah. He saw Josiah's reign and all the things Josiah did to try and clean up the worship of God. But he also lived through the time when Josiah was killed and his evil sons came to the throne. And he saw the wicked that they did. And he saw the king of Babylon come and destroy Jerusalem. But Jeremiah said that God was going to do something new. God was going to do something new through a new king that was going to come from the family line of David. It says it in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah writes, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Well, Josiah was like that, wasn't he? But have a look at verse 6. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. And what happens is that after Jerusalem is destroyed, Josiah's grandson is kept alive. He is not killed. The line of David, the royal family, is not wiped out. And this grandson is taken to Babylon and imprisoned, but after a few decades, he's released. And he is able to have children, and they have children, so the family line of David continues. The royal family continues. When they come back to Jerusalem after their exile in Babylon, they're not able to have their king because they've got foreign nations ruling over them. They don't want to have a king in Jerusalem. But the family line of David continues down through the generations, through the centuries, until a baby is born in Bethlehem of the line of David. And this baby, this royal baby, this king, will not fail in saving his people. When the angel announces the birth, he says he will save his people from their sins. Josiah turned around the worship of the country, but he couldn't save the people from their sins. He couldn't undo the fact that they had sacrificed their own babies to Molech. He couldn't undo the fact that they had filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, that they had gone after other gods and been unfaithful to the Lord. But when Jesus came into the world, he could cleanse the people of their sin. He could remove their sin. He could wash them clean with his own blood. God made a covenant with Moses with the people in the time of Moses. And his people were unfaithful to that covenant. Josiah renewed the covenant of Moses between God and his people when he read to them the book of the law. But it didn't stop their unfaithfulness. They just returned to worshipping other gods after Josiah died. But when Jesus comes, he is the one that can perfectly restore the marriage. He can take an adulteress and make her a virgin princess fit to marry the king. And right at the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John writes about this. And he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now with man, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Jesus is the King who doesn't fail. Jesus is the King whose kingdom will never fail. And Jesus is the King who forgives our sin and can unite us to God for all eternity. Come, Lord Jesus.